Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Dave and me.
Hey everybody, it's Dave here. I've got new music out. That's right, I have a new song called Years Long that just came out that is going to be a part of an album that is coming out in late October. Can't wait to tell y'all more about that. But for now, if you need a slow jam, a little love song for your fall, go check out Years Long. It just came out. You can stream it wherever you like to get your music. Johnny John John fighting crime in his off time.
Hey, Dave.
I felt pretty good about that one. John, our next partner, is one of my favorites. Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Please say Athletic Greens.
Yes, it is, yes. Athletic Greens. In fact, I just took AG1, that's what the cool kids call it, by Athletic Greens a little while ago, just like I do every morning. Okay.
Every morning. That's another thing that kids are saying.
I gave AG1 a try because I wanted better gut health, John, increased energy, John, and immune system support, John.
Dave?
Yeah?
I take AG1 day, week, month.
Yep.
Let me back up. I take it because I hated taking pills. I hated taking vitamins. I just wanted something like a supplement that actually tasted good. That's all I've ever wanted.
And AG1 delivers just that, my friend. I take AG1 in the morning before I start my day, and it makes me feel like I'm giving my body the nutrition it craves.
You know what, Dave? Let me tell you something.
Tell me.
Very quickly, right off the bat, I noticed that it helps me with improved digestion.
Oh.
My hair, my skin feels great.
Okay.
It's the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute.
John, why would you take a bunch of different things when you can just mix one scoop of powder and water once a day?
I don't know. Who wouldn't want that? That's my question.
That's what
it gets me frustrated.
I know.
And that's why AG1 has been part of millions of mornings since 2010.
Plus, John, I almost interrupted. I didn't mean to. It's AG1 is delivered to you every month, so it's easy to make it a daily habit.
That's right. You know what? You know what else I do? I get the single serving travel packs. The places I go, Dave. I never have to miss a day. I don't have to stay home to have AG1.
Yeah.
I can be in Paris.
Yes.
I can be in Indianapolis.
Tuscaloosa.
I can be in Carmel, which is a suburb of Indianapolis. Anyway, I digress. I just mix the powder into cold water, and I drink it first thing every morning. Boom, that's it.
That's it. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase.
Go to athleticgreens.com/dadville.
That's athleticgreens.com/dadville.
Check it out. 1, 2, 3, 4.
John.
It's Dave and John.
You don't have
it sounds like an ad, but it's not.
It's not.
Actually
a
whole
say, this is not.
Episode.
It's an adisode. We kind of fooled you there because you immediately got in the posture of being ready to buy something.
Consume.
Yeah. You were.
You got in consumer mode. Put the credit card away. You don't even need it anymore. You use your phone.
Guys, forget about it. This is, guys, it's just another episode of me and John. We're checking in with you. You know, we're going to chat. We're going to chit-chat. We got some things we want to talk about. We did a really fun thing where we asked people what they wanted us to talk about.
We did.
And
it was so fun. And actually, you guys sent in a lot of comments and questions.
Yeah.
Some were questions, some were just comments.
Yeah. Which, you know, makes for fun reading.
Yeah.
But not great on the conversational side.
But we appreciate it. Look, we appreciated every single one.
We did, and we did.
We're not going to get to all of them.
Those things, yeah.
But we appreciate it all.
When you have 6,227?
It was 6,000 different categories of pages. And then each page had thousands in them.
So. Oh. That's what it's. We live in a dream world here in Dadville. So, how you doing, John? Ooh, look at that!
I know.
I don't get a lot of dramatic.
I know. I'm rubbing my forehead.
You are? I'm like a little nervous right now. Is everything okay?
I'm fine.
You're
Everything's great.
Well, you pulled that together. which makes me feel like it's inauthentic.
I'm just squashing it down.
Yeah, just push it on down.
No, I told Dave a little bit before we started recording that last night I was hanging with the girls. Amy was at her tennis lesson. She does on Monday nights. And I love having bedtime with just the girls and me. I love it. And it was going great. The whole night was going great. The girls played with your kids for a while. Then we went to soccer practice. Then we get home. We're getting ready. I'm doing homework with Luca. It's all going great. Next thing I knew, I go downstairs to get a floss thing for one of them. I come upstairs, and they are, like, at each other's throats.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Livy's trying to get into Luca's room. Luca's got the door locked. She's laughing at Livy. Anyway, it could not have gone down.
Worse.
Going downhill is not even a good analogy. It was just like a cliff, and it was just all of a sudden we were at rock bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I had to, I mean, Dave, you've seen it.
Oh,
I had to put my foot down.
Yep.
And let me tell you what happens when when I put my foot down. To the girls,
nobody hears it.
They don't care at all.
Zero.
And then I have to put my foot even
further
harder
down. Yeah.
And let me tell you, Dave, eventually, if I go into that kind of beast mode, they don't care.
Even more.
Even more.
I've seen you cry, and they don't care.
I want to cry. I'm like, will you just start yelling at me so then I can be submissive? Because one of us needs to submit.
It's like the improv game, sit, stand, lay.
Yeah.
Like if
one
somebody's
of us
standing,
gotta...
yeah, somebody's gotta, if you're standing, I can't be standing.
But let me tell you, I mean, Luca has, she's just at it. She's almost 11. So she's like, she looks like a teenager, I feel like. It's just getting to that phase where back in the day it was like they would get in trouble and then they're fine. Once you're fine, they're fine.
Yeah.
That is not the case anymore.
Yeah.
I was mad at her. She was mad at me. She didn't want me to lay with her, which is the worst. And then we got to go to bed mad, you know? And then this morning it was still a little
tenuous.
So then we're walking into school and she's like, don't hug me.
Oh, shot across the bow.
So anyway, and it's a gorgeous day. It's everything. I'm like trying to enjoy my day, but I'm like, I feel like I'm like waiting for 3 o'clock when they're done with school and we can reconnect.
Yeah.
That's where I am.
Right yeah. Now. You feel the weight of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like derailing my whole day, but it's on my mind
it's
the whole
there.
Day.
Yeah. It's kind of flying around your brain.
Yeah. What about you? Don't tell me that you had a really great morning.
Well, Luke and I hung this morning, and she was just telling me, oh, gosh, she's really...
I saw that she had coffee. She came home with coffee.
With a ton of coffee, mate, and you knew she's been hanging with Dave.
You guys get together and just do creamer.
I knew it was bad when one morning I forgot I put coffee in, and I was pounding creamer, and I was like, we've reached a whole other level.
Oh, that's funny.
We had a moment. I had a moment last night with Ben where I just kind of like nights are really tricky for me because I just get so protective of them. I just really want my time to just not have to deal with the kids.
You're hostage.
And that feeling, you know. And he just was really adamant about us going upstairs, and because he got back from soccer and practice, and I get so bullish. Like I can get mean. You know, where he's like, would y'all just come upstairs? And I'm like, bro, like, I'm done. Go to bed. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's, well, I just really want to. And it's the sweetest. I mean, some of it is manipulative because he just doesn't.
Right.
He just doesn't want to go upstairs by himself. But I'm just like, bro, I'm done. And Annie even looked at me. He's like, you are coming in hot right now. And I could feel, you know, like, I feel like knowing you, you probably don't deal with this as much. You're so calm. But like, I know I'm out of control. Like, I can tell. Like, my hands are off the wheel, but I can't quite do anything about it.
Yeah.
And after, of course, 5 minutes, I calmed down and went upstairs and sat with him and apologized. I'm just like, you know, hey, sorry. And he was like, I know what I did. And I was like, okay, we're good. But nights, it's like, you know, you just feel, everything is building. It just feels like everything is, mornings feel like that too, preschool, where it's just kind of like, everybody's kind of gets a little chippy, you know?
It's because there's like a destination.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
as you're right, moving right. toward yes. the destination, it's like, well, everything kind of has to go according to plan for us to hit this bullseye of like, we're all in bed at 8:30 or whatever yeah. it is, or we're at school at 7:50, you know?
I think, too, you nailed it. I think for me, you know, and this is a very, here we go, waving the flag, but Enneagram 7 thing, I just do not like that. Well, you nailed how the hostage thing. I don't, mm-hmm. if you want to see me at my worst, me, make it like, be around me when I feel trapped or I can't control, you know, I'm stuck in something I can't get out of, as yeah. you two said so well. And so, you know, that's some, like you said, some of that snappiness for me last night is that feeling where yeah. he's like, you got to do this. And Annie's kind of looking at me and I'm like, I don't want to do this right now. Like I had literally just sat on the couch, like turned the NFL game on, sat my butt had just hit the couch. And he's like, hey, will you? And I was like, bro, this is the last thing I want to do right now. Mm-hmm. And then he's pressing and Annie's kind of looking at me like, why don't you just get me? Like, it just all the worst parts of me.
Yeah. Well, there's like the principle of it. And then there's the practicality of the moment and the rest of your night.
There's something, too, I think about. I think about this every now and then. Like, my mom makes this joke all the time where she's like, hey, I'm sorry for any dysfunction or anger or, like, if you can't read good because I didn't read to you growing up. She's like, I just couldn't do it, Dave. Like, I couldn't do it. Like, I would just – something about that just was – it just – I couldn't do it. And now I'm like, oh – I 1,000% get that. Mm-hmm. And I do have these little things where I'm like, if they come to me someday and are like, hey, you just didn't lay in the bed enough with us at night. Or mm-hmm. And it's mostly that little corridor of like, you were just really impatient or you just, I think like mom, I don't know that I'll mature out of that. I think I'm just going to have to say like, I love you. It's just not in my skill set to do that. Uh-huh. And so every time mom makes a joke about it, I actually think it's a pretty profound thought that just to know like, hey, I love you. I'm sorry. Like, I couldn't. That was just like one of the few things I could just never get myself to do. And, you know, obviously I've done that with them, but I think, you know, I'm sort of okay with knowing that's not like Annie's amazing at that. And she's so, you know, she's so good about kind of nighttime and like if they want to lay with her and, or, you know, yeah. I just, it's tough for me. Like, it's mm-hmm. just like, I can't, and a lot of that is because I just can't slow my brain down enough to just like lay in the bed and, And it'd be one thing if like any of them are like really, Dad, I had this thing and they want to talk. I think it'd be a little, you know, I'd be like, oh, wow. But they don't. You know, we just end up kind of laying there and there's like half the time Sam's reading while I'm laying there. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
like, you know, where it's funny because Annie will come out and she'll be like, oh, Ben just told me everything from last week. And I'm like,
right.
well, I was just up, you know, which may be my fault.
It's funny because recently I've been on a mission to because our girls, I feel shame saying this, but our girls, we're up there till they fall asleep. We're like, we're with them. Mm-hmm. And maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was like, okay, we need to start, like, once school starts, that'll be a nice, like, cutoff time. Hey, we're going to lay with you guys for 2 minutes each. Like, Amy and I are with one of them, we kind of switch, and we go to the other one. Then we're going to go downstairs and you guys are going to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Like you guys have got to start falling asleep by yourself.
Yeah.
But it's much harder. Again, it's like there's that's the principle of it. It's like we need to get there because I don't want to feel hostage, all that kind of stuff. But also it's harder. And when we try to do that, it makes the night harder. It would be easier for us to just
yeah.
sit there.
Yeah.
And they'll be asleep. They fall asleep pretty quickly. But I've been reading this book. Anytime I have a good book, I'm like, I get into it. I'm reading it at night. And now I'm like, it's so much easier now to just lay in their bed.
Yeah, read the book.
Read my book. I'll be there 30 minutes after they're mm-hmm. asleep. I'm still mm-hmm. reading the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm like confronted with my own sort of like better parenting versus what's just mm-hmm. easy.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'd rather just maybe just until my book's done, we'll all lay with you guys.
Yeah.
But then we're going to go right back to it. you know what I mean?
I just think of like they're in college and you're like driving to Belmont every night and you're like, it's okay, guys. It's just.
It's right down the road. It's just easier to lay with them. And they don't go to bed till 3.
Just like staring at you across the room.
Hey, how you doing? What was your name? Becky?
Are you and Joey?
Do you have any
water?
She'll be asleep in just a minute. She's on her phone, but when she gets done with her phone, she'll...
Isn't that true that like that's where our brains go when you have struggles like that? You're like, this is going to last forever.
Yeah.
I'm ruining whatever it is.
Well, and I actually do think, I mean, obviously what we're describing is ridiculous, but I think, well, it'll be her roommate then. It's not going to be me, but she'll need her roommate to be there. And then she'll be the needy roommate. It's like, well, are you not, you're going home this weekend?
Oh,
okay. And then she'll have to,
I guess
she'll
I'll
sleep.
Go home this weekend.
Yeah. Then she'll come home that weekend or whatever. Which the flights from Harvard are so expensive.
She has a body pillow that's got you printed on it. It lays in the bed next to her.
I know that's unhealthy, but that's kind of that would be nice.
But that's how we're going to make our money with Shark Tank. I don't know this. I'm in the middle of it like you are. But I do feel like the wisdom that I get from a lot of parents is so much of like, these things in retrospect are such minimal things, you know, like they feel so paramount in the moment.
I do feel like the parents who are further down the road, they do seem to lean on like less of the, I feel like they're like, just lay with them.
Yeah.
Just do it. If that's easier, just do it. And I don't know how I feel about that, but it does seem to be consistent that when we talk to older parents, they lean that way most of the time.
Well, and I think the reason I brought that up earlier to your point about like what my mom said is there's this really fine line of like you want to every moment you can be with them or whatever that thing is because they're going to grow up. And you're going to look back one day and feel like, why didn't you just lay in the bed, Dave? Just lay in the bed. But I also think there's another part of it that's like, yeah, but I'm also like a human. And at some point, I don't want to do some certain things. And maybe that, you know, that's the part of parenting that always gets really tricky to me is that kind of like, enjoy the moment, live in it. It's okay. They'll grow out of it. / like, what if I just don't want to do it? You know, like what if doing whatever that is like drives me crazy?
Yeah.
And sort of having some grace for the journey of going like, you know, because I don't know. I have this thought a lot. This is a weird thing to admit, but I do have this thought a lot where I'm like, I am probably... arguably unhealthily aware of or resolved to me just going, this is just how I am. And not in a way that I'm trying to create enmity between me and my kids, but at the same time kind of going like, hey, I was just kind of me. I tried to do everything I could to serve and love y'all. But at the same point, like, I'm just who I am. You know what I mean? And I think sort of having some grace for myself for those moments that I get terrified of where they, you know, they're 25 and like, hey, I've done all this therapy. And one of the things that he mentioned is that you just didn't really lay with me in the bed much. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh shoot. You know, and just being okay with going, 1,000%. Like next, you know, like I'm not pushing back at all. Like, yeah, I didn't do that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think if that's your one blind spot, you're fine.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a bevy of blind spots. You know, okay, so one thing I did want to say before we jump to these things. This weekend, I went with Ben to Knoxville. He had soccer tournament.
Rector or Barnes?
Oh, yeah. No, Rector's playing sports league stuff.
That's cool that you're going. So you're just driving him?
No. I just follow him. And
did he invite you?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
He's really okay. He's not good actually, but he plays.
Ever since that restraining order expired, you have been so
everywhere.
Involved.
Yeah, the tracker on his car is super effective, and to find my friends that he doesn't know, I turned on his phone. So we went to Knoxville for some soccer games. Man, the kids' sports thing.
You're in it. You are in it.
I feel like we could have a month of podcasts on this on this topic. It's a funny thing because it's like, I think before I did it, you know, like I grew up playing sports, I would say much more recreationally than competitively, but like I played and was on teams in the high school and did the things. But just, you know, was never like the killer instinct guy. Annie is a machine. Like she is a athletic, competitive beast. Like she loves that stuff. She grew up playing. She always hates me telling people this, but she got written up in Sports Illustrated for college. As I think she had competed as a girl in the most intramurals,
Oh, really?
Of, like, any college. Like, it was a joke. Like,
what?
She did, like, 12 different sports one year or something.
I did not know that.
But she loves it. Like, she really, really enjoys it. And so she, you know, so for me, I think before we got into it, I kind of judged a lot of parents because, you know, you go to games or you'd have a friend, you know, played and they'd be like, hey, come on, watch the game. And you'd just be like, these parents are out of control. Or like, why do you care this much? But it's funny because once Ben started playing and him being good at soccer, you know, I found like even when he was 4 or 5 and showed some, you know, skill or whatever, I was like on the sideline, my heart's racing. He's like 4.
Yeah.
Like, how many goals has he got? 4. Shoot, he missed 3.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's in there, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think there is a weird, I don't know. I mean, I know we talk about this a lot with especially pro athletes we have on because I'm just so fascinated by this. Like, how do you think about this? What's appropriate? But like at these games, you know, because Ben is 11 now, like parents will get chippy. Like they'll start yelling at the ref and, you know, like, I mean, oh my God, this weekend, 2 different kids, 11-year-old kids, got kind of chippy with some of our dads who got chippy with them. And I mean, it was kind of all laughed at eventually.
Like the other team?
Yes. Like, so like one kid, like, because you know, like, ball comes down and it goes out. Dude, I'm not lying, John. Ball goes out of bounds. And, you know, one of the dads like, it's out of bounds, ref. And the kid's like, wasn't out of bounds. And you're like, oh, shoot, we sort of broke the third plane here.
Yeah. Like,
because he's like, because, you know, they're like 10 feet away because we're right on the sidelines. And the dads, you could feel it, but I kind of got gobsmacked because we were like, oh. And then some dads are like laughing, like, punk kid. Some were kind of like, oh, that felt weird. But it was just like, you know, and he's like, he didn't go out, man. And you're like, oh, shoot. Like,
yeah.
And then one dad was like, you know, what do you know? I was just like,
all of a sudden, everyone's 11. 11-year-old
kid. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, it's not a rising tide that raises all boats. It's all going down. And so I just think I'm so fascinated with the human nature of the whole sports thing with kids because I think, you know, again, watch it. And it happened twice this weekend where another kid, the dad was, you know, and it wasn't in a bad spirit, but just like was like, hey, you know, ref, whatever. Sorry, ref, you know. They're not keeping their feet down when they throw in it, whatever, you know. And it wasn't, both times, it didn't feel like a weird spirit. It was just kind of like, hey, just kind of watch that or whatever.
Yeah.
Or it's our ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And another kid was like, no, it wasn't. You didn't see it. And you're like, oh, God. You know, like, this is weird. You know, I feel like we should have like more dedicated, have some like pros on to talk about this because it's candidly out of control. Like, it's, parents are getting all up in a thing, their kids. And, you know, it's like I think about it's such a weird reference, but I think about Big Daddy. This is a joke me and Micah make all the time. There's a scene where I think it's Steve Buscemi. Is walking by. You know, he's kind of the mean. I think he's a homeless guy in the show. And Adam Sandler is sitting with the kid. I don't remember this exactly, but it basically the gist of it is like, he's just being mean. And Adam Sandler yells, he can't hurt you anymore.
Yeah.
He's like,
that.
I hate my dad. And then he walks off screen.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of like, I just want to sit down with some of his parents and be like, look, whatever trauma you have, like your kid being good at a sport isn't going to heal it. And that's the thing that I have heard. And I know we've heard like, you know, they can't heal your story. Like they can't fix your story by being good at something. Either you weren't or you see their ability to excel at something and you didn't or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it gets like, it's out of control. And this isn't even, I mean, I would call this mid competitive. We're not even like where kids are really, really, really good and playing on MLS Next or for the local, you know, like MLS teams, youth leagues. This is like kind of nice mid-level competitive soccer. And I mean, people just get out of hand.
I know.
Daven Con.
Man, that was good.
Love that.
I'm embarrassed at how much I like that. Listen, Dave, as a parent, you've had to learn so many new skills to provide for your family, right? I don't have to tell you. You got to learn how to do copious amounts of laundry, right? Meal plan for even the pickiest eater, which you are such a picky eater. I don't know how you talk me into doing the meal plan.
I like to pick what I eat.
And now, you got to learn how to protect your family's financial future.
That's
true. Listen, Dave. Fabric by Gerber Life provides an easy one-stop shop for your family's financial needs, offering high-quality term life insurance policies, plus other financial solutions in one easy online hub.
Yes, Fabric is incredible, John. Mm-hmm. Great coverage, easy to set up. And John, I just want to say, you are the master of learning new skills.
Thank you.
And knowing about Fabric is one of your best, Jim.
Thanks, Dave. Mm-hmm. Look, it's easy. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Get your personalized quote in just minutes, and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule.
Oh, that's amazing. You could go from start to covered in how many minutes, John? Less than how many minutes?
You know, 30 would be good.
No,
tell me how
10,
many.
Less than 10 minutes.
That's incredible.
With no health exam required. With over 1,700 five-star reviews,
that's
and
amazing.
They're rated as excellent on Trustpilot.
Not sure if life insurance is right for you? We'll take Fabric's quick 60-second quiz to find out. There's no risk to apply, and they have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time.
Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/dadville.
That's meetfabric.com/dadville. meetfabric.com/dadville. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Man.
Dave,
Louise, yeah.
I want to give a shout out. And when I give a shout out, I always laugh because it just brings me so much joy to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with free samples.
You know it, John. This time of year, my allergies are in fuego. They're always on the attack, but I use this and you should too.
Oh, I do, Dave. Every day in our house.
Yeah.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
Designed for serious allergy sufferers, which is, me raising my hand, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill to relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better.
This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
John, I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for a long time, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can go for a run without my eyes watering. I may be crying, but it's not from allergies.
Totally different.
And I can sing without feeling like I have like a big old, let's not even call it a frog. It's like a toad.
It's like a family of toads.
It's a family. It's a turtle.
Yeah.
In my throat.
So, you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies?
Yeah, me.
It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. John is the man, John's so great. John
that's
is so nice. All
that's
over the
so
place
because
nice he loves
say,
you.
Dave, that is very generous of you, Dave.
John, would you tell me something?
Depending on what it is, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. What do you think about Rooted, the NIV Bible?
I'm so glad you asked
tell
about
us,
that. This is the softball of all softballs.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave, I love it.
Oh.
In France, j'adore.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if that's actually right.
No, that's good.
New from Zondervan Bible Publishers, designed to help you connect with your identity in Christ, is Rooted, the NIV Bible for men, and Flourish, the NIV Bible for women. Dave, tell me.
Ask me.
What have you enjoyed
about Rooted? I was hoping you'd say that.
Yep.
I enjoyed the summary of talking points and questions at the beginning of each book of the Bible. It lays out some of the common questions and thoughts we have and pinpoints where it's being addressed in Scripture.
Well, Dave, you didn't ask, but I like that too.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I
also enjoy the profiles that it has on certain people in the Bible. It goes a little more in depth about important figures and the roles that they played.
Yeah. Other features include myth articles that expose commonly accepted myths of our culture and refute them with God's Word. It has notes that offer clarity into the attributes of God and has questions for growth that you can answer alone, with a friend, or in a small group.
Both of these Bibles, Flourish for Women and Rooted for Men, offer the knowledge, strength, and clarity to navigate life's challenges with Scripture as your guide.
And Flourish, the NIV Bible for Women, and Rooted, the NIV Bible for Men, are available both in hardcover and leather soft styles.
You can find out more and order your copy at amazon.com/rootedandflourish.
That's amazon.com/rootedandflourish.
I feel like we are a level down from where you guys are. And our girls are not. I mean, Amy was a soccer player all through college. She's into it. She wants the girls to play soccer. I love that they play soccer. And they love it, but they're not. They don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, they'll like Livy last weekend, they lost 0-6. And she's. Yeah. She doesn't care.
Yeah, she's like, we're snuck.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I hope that it stays that way forever. But we have already, actually, this has really only happened once. And it's like, it's crazy that this happened. But we had a dad and a ref kind of go back and forth a couple weeks ago. And it's, I think there's something about like, maybe like, there's like that sort of fourth wall thing mm-hmm. where like, maybe you're yelling stuff every now and then,
They
yell back, and you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah, this is, they can
you
hear
can
this.
See us?
Yeah.
And then you're like, it's two guys.
Yeah.
Amongst, kind of, you know, a lot of people. And then you're on the spot, and then you get defensive, and then you it's like fight or flight or whatever. And then it was ridiculous. It was like, the guy, you know, I forget what the first couple back and forth was, but then all of a sudden the ref was like, well, I'll see you after the game.
No.
And you're like,
no, he didn't say that.
He did. He
How
did.
Old was he?
I don't know. In his late 80s, maybe? No, I don't know. I mean,
you're like, will you?
40. Yeah. Can you see us now? But it's like, jeez. I was thinking about it afterward, and I'm like, I bet as soon as he said that, he was like, what am I doing? Why am I saying? And you're like, I'm surrounded by like 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, when we got to fight one of the dads in the parking lot? It's ridiculous.
This is what I think about. And this is me just being as vulnerable and candid as I can be. Because growing up playing sports, but not, again, at a super high competitive level, I just don't have skin in the game like that. I don't.
Yeah.
I value sports. I value what they teach our kids, but not near what other people do. And so I have to be careful because I can think, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, but I do have friends that grew up playing and played either professionally or at a collegiate level.
Right.
And their argument would be like, no, this matters at some point because rules need to be rules. And kids that don't have rules enforced, then what are we doing out here? So I understand that. And I think that's why a lot of times, like dads on our team, we're kind of like, hey, it went out. You know, I'd be like, who cares? They're just kids. But I think they have a good argument to say, like, hey, if we can't abide by the rules, what the heck are we doing out here?
Yeah.
So I get that. But I think I just have an innate problem with it because I just don't value it as much as other people do. I'm kind of like, it's especially kid sports because I'm like, you know, like, so it did go out and the other team gets it. So we lose. Like,
yeah.
Kind of who cares,
yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, we want to do the best we can, but does this really matter? But I know there's some, like, you know, I have a dear friend who has very strong thoughts about this stuff. He played college sports. And I have to be careful sometimes around him because I can just be so who cares. And he's not crazy. Like, he's not, but, you know, he gets riled up.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting thing for me because I don't think everybody thinks like me and they shouldn't. But I also, you know, I feel like I can make a pretty compelling case for, like, why does this matter at all? Like,
right.
And I think, too, you know, the other things that I think are tricky about are two things. One, I think these kids aren't going to play professional sports. Like, I mean, the number of kids who will play professional sports is unbelievably small.
Of course.
Unbelievably small.
Yeah.
So, you know, us thinking, like, well, my kid's really gifted, whatever, that percentage is going to be unbelievably low. So, just working out of that, like, well, you never know. It's like you're already on the wrong path. Like, mm-hmm. the percentages are not in your favor, so let's just chill out there, Jocko. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, he's not going to be a catcher for the Mets. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I think, too, I don't know what it's like to have a kid that is really good at, like, that level good of sports, so I also have to be careful because, like, that would be – I think about that a lot. I'm like, what would it be like if your kid really was, like, truly phenomenal at a sport? Like,
yeah,
really has a gift that's substantial. And that'd be tricky because you think about what a family that means for a family, and do you go all in on that? Is that something that you owe your kid? Do you not? I don't know. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But it's like, I don't really know what that's like, and I do think there is, you know, there's a case to be made for if your kid's really good and they really enjoy it. But even then, there's all these, you know, there's all these stats that show that a kid that over specializes for too long hates the game. I mean, I have friends that will tell you that. I mean, I'm sure you do too. They were like, I never play golf again after I got out of high school because I was like, that's all I did for 15 years or you know, 10 years, whatever it is. So I think there's all these things you got to be careful about in how we think about it and sort of overdo it. And
I do remember when I was growing up, I mean, swimming was my sport and I swam year round and it was, it like looking back, I'm like, it was so intense. It's laughable how intense it was. But I also feel like it, when I was in it, I was like, this, if I miss practice or something, that's huge.
Yeah.
It was like a big deal. Which again, looking back, I'm like, it's not a big deal at all. I want to like call some of my old coaches and be like, you were like playing a role, right? Like, or did you actually think it was life or death? Because it seemed like it was life or death.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, I do see the benefit now in my adult years of that insane discipline.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to glean like what are the takeaways that are positive from that. Mm. And maybe because other than that, I mean, it's just like no one cared about swimming. It's not like there was some social aspect to it. So, I mean, you know, what was it all for? I don't know.
Well, and that's, I think maybe that's a good way to land this part of the conversation. It's like, I think that's such a good way to put it. And I really do think globally, that's the question. That to me, if there is a question, that's kind of the question to me is like, what is it all for?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember talking to a guy I know who played collegiate football and he admitted, he's like, there's a lot of time where I look back, I'm like, why did I do all that?
Yeah.
You know, like, I just gave so much of my life to something that stops abruptly and you never
and
do again.
Done. It's over.
And a lot of people would rightfully so say team building, community. I mean, even watching Ben this weekend with these boys, right? He knew some of them, but not well. They had a weekend together, which I don't like doing these, by the way. Like, we don't like to miss church. I don't like all that. But Annie and I agreed, like, hey, one, it's one weekend this fall. And two, this, like, I got to know the parents, which was really great. But Ben got so much more comfortable with those kids, and practice yesterday going was different. Like, he's laughing. He's cutting up with the boys. So there is a wonderful communal element.
Yeah.
Your point, discipline is huge. I think fitness is great. Like, understanding how, you know, pushing your body has great results and it's really healthy for you.
And dealing with failure.
Yes.
Like, it gives
you a chance to deal with
expectations, aspirations.
For sure.
Success, failure, all that kind of
stuff. That's great. So I do think some of it is like, what's it for? And I think that ultimately for all of us parents is one good thing to think about. It's like, if it is for my kid to have fun and enjoy getting to meet people, get better support, things we're talking about, like, that's a great matrix to put it through.
Yeah.
I think if it's like, I think we just have to do, this is just my hot take. I think we have to be careful as parents when we feel that, because we're going to, that thing that's like, he needs to be good at this. Like, I feel something in me getting connected to his performance and that, or her performance. And that's really tricky space there, because I think, like, then it's not about your kid. It's more about you needing to see. And I think then overlaying this really weird grid over them, that's like, how you perform on the baseball field is how life is going to be, which I would argue is ridiculous.
Right.
You know, like, well, if he or she can really perform out there, it's going to set up their, I'm like, maybe, I mean, slightly, maybe. I mean, there's some great things to take from that, but I just think there's something about the performance of it that goes beyond sports that does make me nervous. That's kind of this, like, if you aren't bleeding out there on the field, then that's not, you know, and it's just like, I just think it can get so overdone. But that's true with anything. I think if you have a kid that plays piano and he's good, or, you know, she's smart, you know, or she's great at whatever the thing is, it's just the performance aspect is always the thing I think that's worth watching. And you said it so well, like, what is it for? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
The other thing I think a lot about is like what it's doing to, I think so much about this. I'm like, what am I communicating to Ben with how we think about his time in this sport? You know, cause he's got two nights of practice a week. He plays most weekends. Thankfully this year it's been here, which is a big deal why we did it. So we're not gone. But like, am I osmotically telling him your schedule is paramount to this family, your joy is paramount to this family, you playing the sport matters a lot to us? And that scares me, because I don't want him to be picking up, even at a subconscious level, we follow you everywhere, we cheer you on performing, and when you perform well, that's we accept you more, or we celebrate that more. But that stuff makes me nervous. Like, I don't want him thinking, even though he doesn't know he's thinking it, like, well, yeah, I play sports and y'all go to those games. Or I play sports and you drive me to Knoxville when it's time to drive. It's like, that's a thing I get nervous about with our culture where we are athletic with kids' sports. It's like, just what we're communicating and we don't know we're communicating. Like, your life for the rest of your life, Ben, it's going to be everybody kind of caters to you and what you want to do, and they'll follow you around to your whims. That makes me nervous. And I think that's the stuff that I'm like, you know, that's a space to watch for me. It's kind of mm-hmm. like, and we had a little moment the other night where he kind of, Sam, you know, our youngest, I don't know if you remember him, he's the third, you know, had a game.
Vaguely,
yeah, he's always got carbs.
Okay.
He's stealing your chips at your house. Probably even now, honestly. But, like, you know, Ben kind of was like, I don't want to go to that. They're so boring. And it lit a fire in me because he was telling Sam. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, do you know how many games this little dude has come to of yours and, like, mm-hmm. not complain? That's the energy that makes me really nervous, is this kind of like when we overdo kid sports. And I just think, what are we telling them? Like, when we're that busy and we're that, you know, is there something they're picking up on that we don't even know they're picking up on? You know, mm-hmm. I'm off my soapbox. I'm done.
It's an interesting thought, though. I don't know what my thoughts are on that exactly. Because part of me is like, well, they got to do something.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
I do think it would be a good idea for next season you don't go to a single game and you don't tell Ben where you are.
Well, Rector's going to be so mad.
Yeah. This whole time we're talking about Rector, right?
Now that you say that, we are.
Yeah.
We're gonna get so much
hate
mail.
We're so confused. We're confused.
Yeah, we don't even know what we're doing.
Speaking of the people, let's get down to some of these questions.
Let's get down to it. Let's see what happens if we sort of treat this like a speed round.
Yeah, the whole thing is speed round. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's start out with Logan Miller.
Lolo,
as we call him, Logo Mill. I'm a longtime fan of both Dave and John. But so immediately I'm like, well, who are you a bigger fan of? That's our question for you. Get back to us. I've seen you both multiple times and practice vocally to your tunes constantly. Oh, that's cool.
I love this guy.
I'm a dad of two kids, George, 3, Lucy, 1. My wife is incredible and is constantly allowing me bandwidth to gig and keep the dream alive. Oh, that's cool. But I just need to admit that it's dang hard. Ooh, Logan,
watch that language.
I'll say again, when it comes to music and work-life balance. I've been the worship pastor at my church for 8 years part-time and full-time in leadership at a marketing agency. Man, this guy's got a lot on his plate.
Logan's a juggler.
On top, I've often been gigging multiple times a week. Man, I feel like we need to ask him about time management. I would love to hear from both of you to hear how you progress musically, creatively, while being intentional dads. I want to hear about your space, your actual space. I think Dave has one of those she sheds, LOL, turned home studio. Dave has like a legit space in the back. I have like an actual shed that I've retrofitted into a...
It's awesome.
A he shed.
He shed, she shed.
A they shed, I guess. I know you guys are pros and have time during the day as well.
That's still making me laugh. He shed, she shed. Sorry, keep going. Sorry.
I'm gonna you keep laughing. I'm gonna keep reading Logan's thing.
Keep being
But I'm really struggling with finding the right balance to find time for achieving dreams and dadding all in a day's work. Would love to hear your thoughts. Much love to you both. Man, that's a lot, Logan.
Mm-hmm.
How to progress musically. Man, Dave, go ahead and tell him. Tell him how it's done.
Well, I think maybe my quickest answer to this, if we're staying in the lightning round world,
yeah,
I do think it's some of it is just the expectations for things, to your last point. You know, I'm really struggling to find the right balance for time and for achieving dreams. You know, I think just having appropriate expectations for something that sounds like a really great hobby, but is a hobby because, you know, you do have other jobs you're doing. Or even if it is a job, having an expectation knowing there's other jobs you're doing too. So it's not kind of like music has to carry the weight of everything I'm wanting in life or mm-hmm. whatever. and letting it sort of perform in an appropriate manner, not just in your time management, but also just kind of like what you expect and dream it to be. Like even as a professional musician, I'm still learning that,
yeah.
You know, just to how to sort of have appropriate expectations for, you know, one, how old I am and how many records I've put out and how long I've been doing this, but also, you know, just how people perceive what I do still and whatever. So, you know, I would say maybe that's the answer I'd give for at least that part of it, is just kind of like how to have reasonable expectations.
Dave,
yeah.
I gotta tell you something.
Tell
I gotta
me.
Get something off my chest.
Please,
I just want to get up on a mountain and shout this.
Oh my gosh!
But there aren't any mountains around. Plus, I don't want to put
climber.
My shoes on.
You've
I've never been great at climbing.
Yes.
Knock Around is the original affordable sunglasses company offering quality shades that won't break the bank. There, I said it.
You, John,
gosh,
I just climbed
so
a mountain
better.
And yelled that too. So it's fun to hear you say that just this morning, literally an hour ago. And John, there are so many different color combinations,
mm-hmm.
17 unique frame styles, and they're offered with both standard UV 400 protection and polarized lenses.
Well, Dave, don't forget, because you almost forgot this, but I would never forget this. Knock Around also had kid-sized sunnies.
Aww.
And Dave, they're always releasing new sunglasses, so you got to go to knockaround.com to check out the latest.
I was literally looking at that as you were talking, so I don't know what
it
you
was.
Said.
It's a little
John,
rude.
I'm customizing my own pair of sunglasses on knockaround.com right now because I couldn't handle it. After I yelled at the top of the mountain, I forgot my sunglasses, and I was like, I need sunglasses when I climb the mountain.
Yeah,
you can choose the color of each arm, the frame, and the lenses, John.
I cannot wait to see your original design.
Okay, you're going to love them. Okay. You're going to love them. You always do. Not always. And while I'm at it, I just ordered you a pair of Fast Lanes because that's
ooh.
What I think about. That's where you live, John.
I live
in rubberized navy and mint.
That's sweet. Dave,
yeah.
A question for you.
Yeah.
How can our listeners find their favorite pair?
Here's what you do, John. Buckle up. You live in the Fast Lanes. You know that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're a loyal Dadville listener, you can head on over to knockaround.com and use promo code Dadville15 anytime for 15% off your first. Well, not even your first. And you're forced. John, if you're in the forest,
if you're in the
ordering,
forest,
you're first.
The sun is in your eyes because the trees are thin.
Listen, okay, I got so excited. And also, I'm fatigued from the mountain climb again. I want to say it again clear for people. Dadville 15, anytime for how many off your first order?
15.
15%.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They could have stopped at 14, but they kept going. Dave, people need to go to knockaround.com and use the promo code Dadville15 for 15% off their order of an awesome new pair of sunglasses. I'm going to say it again.
Do it.
Knockaround.com, Dadville15. Do it. Hey, Dave, do you ever set your alarm early and you got your gym bag all packed and yet you hit the snooze and you're rolling out of bed an hour late? Dave? Dave, are you asleep?
John, sorry. Oh, that's embarrassing. I'm so sorry. I've just been so tired lately. It's like I'll set my alarm early, have my gym bag packed, have the dumbbells in the bag, have extra weights wrapped around the dumbbells, yet end up hitting snooze and rolling out of bed an hour later.
Yeah that's exactly what I just asked you if you would have been awake. Anyway, Dave, if falling asleep easily and waking up feeling rested is something that you need help with, and based on this conversation, I would say that it is. Let me tell you about the Hatch Restore 2. Can I tell you?
Yes, please do. Thank you, John.
Okay. What if you made sleep your simplest self-care bedtime routine with the Hatch Restore 2? Think of the Hatch Restore 2 as your bedside sleep guide, your ally in rest, as I like to say. The innovative all-in-one dream machine is a sophisticated sound machine, light, and alarm clock beautifully designed for your bedside table.
I'm just going to say it, John.
Say
I
it.
Really need the Hatch Restore 2.
If you
there,
weren't going to say it, I
there,
was going to say
there,
it.
There,
Dave,
there.
Because good rest allows you to be the best version of yourself, which right now you aren't. We don't need to get into that. Which is why the Hatch Restore 2 was engineered to help you form healthy sleep habits for life.
It's as though your hatch teaches your body when it's time to sleep and when it's time to rise. With light and sound cues, it coaches me through meditations and mindfulness exercises that transform the time before and after sleep into restful rituals. It sounds great, John.
Dave, great sleep cannot be forced, but it can be learned. And right now,
Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off their first purchase of a Hatch Restore 2 and, Dave, free shipping at hatch.co/dadville.
This company is never going to make it. They're too,
they're too generous.
They're too generous. Sleep deeply and wake gently with the Restore 2. Go to hatch.co/dadville to get $20 off and free shipping.
That's hatch.co/dadville.
I don't know that there's a, there's not like a quick answer. I mean, I agree with that. Assessing your expectations, definitely assessing your priorities. Because I mean, as Logan, you know more than anybody, it's like you only have so many hours in the day. So you got to, you know, figure out what your priorities are and allocate your time. What's going to win? So often there are going to be two opposing things that you, you know, I'm sure there's a part of you that wants to spend all day with your kids, and then there's a part of you that wants to spend all day sitting in a room making music.
Hold on. Does anybody, can I say this out loud? Does anybody want to spend all day
with their kids? You know, with some breaks, obviously.
A little egregious.
In summation, best of luck, Logan. We are rooting for you. All right, Taylor Fadina, for both of you, what's a line in a song that you wish you'd written? I love so many of y'all's songs, by the way. So glad to have your music in the world. Oh, that's nice,
well,
Taylor.
I'll tell you, just that question makes me happy. I just love, I think sometimes I feel like, you know, you pour your heart into these lyrics. Because, I mean, you're with me on lyrics are just a nightmare.
Lyrics are the hardest thing.
They're the
about
worst.
Music.
It's so hard, especially when you've been doing it as long as we've both been doing it. Because, you know, musically, you and I could go on forever and ever and have more musical ideas. But it's hard when you've said, like, literally said all the things you just said. You know, you're just like, I don't know what the next thing's going to be. Yeah. So I love that question anyway. It makes me happy that people still, you know, not that every song I'm writing is meant to be taken as some profound. But, you know, every now and then when you have a line, you're like, oh, yes. It's just good to know somebody's like, oh, I see you, Dave. I see you, John.
I had, when I read this, I immediately had a line.
Go.
She'll ruin your faith with her casual lies. Billy Joel, always
that
a woman.
Kind of that whole song. I mean, honestly.
I mean, but that line, that little line is so good. I'm not saying it's like the greatest lyric ever written.
It's so good.
But. If I wrote that, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'd come in and I would tell Amy, I'd be like, babe, guess what I just wrote? She'll ruin your faith with her casual lies.
And then she would say, wait, is this about me?
Wait, what? And then I would be like,
I'm going to go back out of the show.
I'm going to go back out of the show. But they
I have a few of these. I was actually just telling a friend that I wrote with yesterday how much I love the lyrics of The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics, which I think are just wrought with great lines. But I think maybe, I'm coming in hot here, maybe my favorite verse, I'm about to say it of all time, maybe.
Whoa.
Maybe, is Mystery by the Indigo Girls, and this is the second verse. So what is love, then? Is it dictated or chosen? Does it sing like the hymns of a thousand years, or is it just pop emotion? And if it ever was there and it left, does it mean it was never true? And to exist, it must elude. Is that why I think these things of you? I mean, that whole song is it's
ridiculous.
It's prodigious. It's I think literally some of the best lyrics I've written of all time. But that's Emily to me is, I just personally, I think she's probably the greatest. She's my favorite lyric writer of all time. There are other songs that I love, but I just think, like, if you go song to song by hers, it's frustratingly good. That's one. I actually gave that song, I had Emily, she was so sweet. She wrote those lyrics out for Annie for her 40th, and we got it framed, which is, like, one of my favorite things in the world. Okay, next question. If you guys weren't musicians, what would you do for a living?
Lightning round. Go.
Podcast.
Come on. I guess podcast. Thank the Lord we started this podcast. I don't know. I mean, if we weren't doing anything that we are currently doing, I don't know. Real estate?
I think for me, this is something I do think about. If God, in some weird way, had me come back and I could live life again and do a different job, I do think about this a lot. I think there's a world where I would have tried to do the SNL thing. mm-hmm. where I would have like moved to New York, LA or Chicago right out of college, got really stuck in with the Groundlings or Second City and just like gone for it. I think about that every now and then because I just think that would have been really, I don't know if it would have worked, but I just, it would have been a really, it just would have been fun to try.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my answer.
All right. Matthew, I don't know how to say his last name. Krekeler? How do you say that? Krekeler.
Krekeler.
What's the worst parenting advice you've ever received? I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I've got some bad advice, but I guess you just forget that stuff. There's only so much space in my head. It's hard enough to retain the good advice. I can't remember the bad advice.
I'll say this. It wasn't anything anybody told me, but I do feel like something that got inferred for a while when we were younger was that there is one way to discipline your kids globally.
Uh-huh.
Like this form of discipline and sort of like caretaking is a blanket that will work for all of your kids. Like that was a real thing, especially in Christendom. It was kind of like, this is the thing every Christian parent out there, like, and just you put this on all your kids. And mm-hmm. I think that's just a wildly inaccurate thing. And we know that now. I don't think people really push that quite as much anymore, but I do think that wasn't, because for some of your kids, it was going to be amazing. You know,
right.
Like you're like, man, you know, little JoJo is taken to this like a duck to water and it's working super well. And then, you know, crazy Chip over here, left eye Gina, you know, they're having a harder time.
Yeah.
Okay. Tammy Taylor Walters, who, if she's not on QVC or a prosperity gospel pastor, you may be missing your calling. Does the not knowing where your show is going take you exactly per episode? Baffle you sometimes, or is it clear direction that we viewers aren't aware of? Does the not knowing where your show is going to take you exactly baffle you?
Yeah.
Or is it clear direction we viewers aren't aware of?
I would say in the very beginning, Dave and I used to basically script out the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not basically, we literally scripted them out. And then we have become way less structured mm-hmm. as we've gone, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Because you start an interview and you ask question one and then they answer question one, but they also answered question 7 and 15.
Yeah.
And then they go in a different route, and then it's like, well, wait, if I ask question two now, it seems left footed because we're kind of talking about what question 5, 6, and 7 are.
Yeah. I think the thing that is native to this thing, interviewing people, not even really podcasting, but you know, it is to me, there's like so many ways you can do it, but I would say maybe just for this example, there's two. One is just to follow your gut. So just like, just have a chat with somebody. Those can be really heartfelt and interesting because they go places you never thought they would have gone. So that's a positive. And it's a little more casual. I think the negative is you may not have exhumed a tenth of what is actually there to exhume because you just sort of followed your whim and where the conversation naturally went. So, you know, whatever they had, like they may have some part of them that everybody knows and wants to hear about, but you just didn't get there because, you know, that's just not where it went. I also would argue that's not really like an interview, you know, it's more of a conversation, which both those are great. And it's depending on what people want to hear. And then I think, you know, there is the sort of like having it scripted, you kind of know what you want, why this person is on and what you want to hear them talk about. But then obviously, you know, juxtaposed to the first thing, you can miss out on things that feel a little more conversational, or they may not share things because it doesn't feel as.
Yeah, they aren't as at ease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can get a little robotic sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Hannah Croker.
Crocker.
What are some family rhythms y'all commit to regardless of what's going on career-wise?
This one, boom, cut, cut, the boom, cut.
Yeah, I would say like the Texas Shuffle.
The boom, cut.
Family rhythms. I mean, right now, I mean, to be completely honest, you know, the girls are in school. We've got that built-in rhythm of school, sports, church, those kinds of things. And then I kind of have my career rhythm of like, I tour when I tour. I mean, there are definitely, I guess my answer is, what I feel like I need to come clean and say, there isn't a clear like line in the sand, like these family rhythms are untouched and we will never, I will never miss those or whatever. Mm. Like I've missed, I will be gone on the road on Luca's birthday this year, you know, things like that. I hate to do that, but there are just some times where that happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think for us, and I mean, you know, all of this comes with an asterisk. I really love family dinner together. Mm-hmm. Like that's it. I really enjoy that. We really push as hard as we can to kind of have like, you know, obviously that's not when I'm gone, duh. But like, you know, I think just as a normal family rhythm, if you take touring out of it, you know, that's something that, yeah, I think we really enjoy. And I think is really, it just kind of plants one thing really firmly in the ground every,
yeah,
day. It's kind of like that is going to happen. You know, we do highs and lows, which is always like, can feel really,
we do too,
pedantic. Yeah. Probably 90% of the time. But like every now and then you really get some moment. You're like, oh, well, like, I didn't know that was hard. Like, talk more about that. Or, mm-hmm, like, that's awesome. I didn't know that that great thing happened or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. I guess I was thinking more macro. We do dinner. And Amy really loves, like, she wants to sit at the table. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
And have dinner.
Yeah.
And I do love that we do that. But we do highs and lows, yeah, as well. That's our thing.
I like that those two are together, too. Because, I mean, I love dinner anyway. But, you know, dinner can just get, which is totally fine.
Right.
You know, it can be 10 minutes and it's already done. And the kids are running around, you know.
Yeah. And you're telling them to sit back down and,
yeah,
finish their plate.
Yeah. Annie, sit, finish your. But I do like that because we do highs and lows, it gives, it just, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So it sort of, you know, you got them for that.
Yeah.
And they want it. They'll go, right, okay, I'll go first, you know, and it's like, I do like that a lot.
Yeah.
And John, I feel like this is a good one to wrap it up on. Okay. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Amanda Ray Jones, who could work with Tammy Taylor Walters if they really wanted to come together for a powerful duo. One, standard coffee order, go.
Quad shot espresso with 1 ounce of steamed milk.
You did not even think about that. I'm going to probably go, I either do like mostly vanilla soy latte. It's kind of, that's sort
what
of.
What size are we talking here?
I don't know, 5'11", and then like large, 34 pants usually.
Okay.
And then like a large shirt, and then, I don't know, 10.5, 11 shoes.
Shoes, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's been like, okay, that for a while. Favorite parenting level you've unlocked or one you're looking forward to?
Man. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the phase that we're in right now, last night and this morning aside, is pretty sweet. I really like this phase right
now. Barring the last 24 hours.
Yeah. I remember I asked Amy's parents this question, and I remember her dad said that these years, and this was years ago that he said it, but he was like, the early elementary school years, he was like, if I had to pick a phase, that was my favorite phase, mm-hmm, which is kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm such an affection. I'm a very physical touch guy, and I just so enjoy that all of my kids are like that right now. You know, that we, mm-hmm, don't have one that's like phased out of it yet, or whatever, yeah, or hasn't phased in, or you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like right now all three of them are just very affectionate and very like, you know, they just love being close and hand holding and kind of like sitting close to me on the couch. And I really think if there's anything I'm actually pretty conscious of every day or every time it happens, it's that. And I just, mm-hmm, and I know it won't always be that, and that's okay. But I think it makes this season so much more fun. Like they're just still really, really affectionate. And so I really am thankful for that. Okay. Last, this, she's coming, Amanda Ray, which we know her to be this way. Mm-hmm. And so it shouldn't
be
a surprise.
So that's so her.
ARJ is always coming off the top rope. Last question you asked. One moment in time where you seriously considered walking away from music or good? For good or good. You thought about walking away from music, but you also thought about walking away from just good.
Or goodness. gosh, I guess right now. I mean, I hadn't even thought about it until you asked that, Amanda Ray Jones. Maybe it's time.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I don't know that I've really ever had a moment that I've seriously thought about.
Like for
walking
real,
walking away for real.
Like 10 years ago, you know, not there's never there was never like a moment of that.
No, I don't think so. And I think it's mostly because I don't have any other plan. Like, and it's not because it's just been nothing but green lights, you know, for the last 17 years. Yeah. But it's just like, well, there's no, I mean, there's a, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
If I was like a, had my law degree or something, or like, you know, I'm also, I took the MCATs and I aced them all and
yeah,
I could go, you know, be a doctor tomorrow. I don't know. There's no other skill set that I have.
Yeah. I think that's surprising is the right word. It's, I'm glad to hear you say that. Like, I think it's really cool that you haven't felt that way. I kind of think of two times. There was a time, well, and I'll say this, and again, I don't mean to keep banging the drum, but being, you know, Enneagram 7, I just do, I'm so pain averse. Like, the minute things get uncomfortable at a pretty significant level, I am doing everything I can to try to get out of that discomfort. Mm-hmm. And so there's always been like a low level hum in my career when it's gotten hard or exhausting. And I'm never like, I'm pulling this, you know, the train to make it stop and get off. But there is some sense of like, I just want to get out of this part of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So there, you know, it's not uncommon for me to sit with Annie, especially back in the days where I was touring a ton and stuff was like pretty,
yeah,
you know, pretty at full throttle or whatever, that, you know, every few months I'd be like, I'm just worn out. And I'm, you know, and she'd be like, you're doing great. There was one moment though, I remember very succinctly right before, What We Want, What We Get came out, which is the record that God Gave Me His Own, where I had a very real conversation with Annie. I remember it pretty well. We were walking not far from here, just she and I, four kids. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, I'm just, it was the year I toured the most. I was so tired. And I was like, and I remember it feeling pretty, you know, significant that I was like, I'm just spent. Like, I'm done. And she said, she was like, you know, as she always does, she was like, you're just tired. You love doing this. You're so good at it. You can't. And I remember it being by the end of the conversation, she had done a good job of kind of, but I don't think I would have. It's the closest that I've ever come to it though, where I was really like, I'm just so tired. Mm-hmm. And I think too, in those moments, I was looking like, when does this stop? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like this is just rinse, wash, repeat. It was just kind of like,
yeah,
here we go. And
I've had moments where I thought my career was over. I mean, the moments that I have had with Annie or with Amy.
What was that?
Where I'm like, I think it's done. I think people are,
yeah,
I think people are done. I don't think people are going to, you know, like you put a tour on sale and like your first week of tickets
just
is underwhelming. Yeah. And you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Well, you know, yeah. I'm glad you say that. I mean, you know, this, I hope this isn't too much information or whatever, but it is an interesting look behind the veil of what we do. Cause I do think, you know, I mean, honestly, I'm not in the middle of that right now. I would never quit what we're doing, but I do think it's been a season. It's just, you know, I was joking with somebody the other day, like the music industry isn't set up to serve 45-year-old artists, you know, it's like, and that's okay. It's okay. It's like, sort of feels like the NFL isn't set up, you know, to serve 35-year-old wide receivers. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, and so, you know, it's just, it's tough doing this the older we get. And I do think, so I would say the second, you know, I said there's two, I'm kind of in it now and I'm not going to quit. That's not our point, but I'm feeling all the feelings of like, gosh, this is just like, why is this so hard? You know?
Yeah. Well, and you don't really, it's like, I enjoy it more than ever.
Agreed.
I love it more than ever, but I need it less than ever.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
And so, and I think when I was 23, it was like, I wasn't necessarily consciously thinking I need this. It was just like, what else? This is the only thing I'm doing right now.
That's what we do. Yeah.
And now it's like, there's a lot of other more important aspects of my life.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's what, I mean, you know, because that's the thing. I think this record I'm putting out next month, I've never been more excited about a record, but I've also never had to, I've never, it's never been more challenging to get a record out and let people know it's there and get it listened to. And I think some of that is unique to our age because we've done both.
Yeah.
You know, we started with CDs that you sold that were very real representations of how you were doing because people bought them or didn't. Mm-hmm. They spread organically. People then would buy more because somebody had it and they had to go get it. It wasn't just sitting there. You know, so I think some of what's so hard with what we do is just that we've known the other side of it too that was just so different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's hard to change your expectations to now where all music is free and people can go listen at any time and you know, so it's just, it doesn't have the worth it used to, so it's hard. But, you know, but it's all good and I'm thankful and, you know, it's there. But I do, I'm, I feel like there's a little bit of that bubbling right now. Like, what is it for?
Very timely question, Amanda.
I actually wrote that question down. So, guys, we love you. Thanks for listening.
Coming to Dadville. Thanks for coming. Enjoy your time.
If you would pick up your litter on the way out, though. Yeah. That'd be great.